It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare. You're independent. I'm getting my voice back. It's almost there. Maybe by next week. Well, here in the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, we have sitting right across from me, Mr. Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers. Dun, dun, dun. And that's what he looks like Purdy, and that's what he looks like in person. So what we're going to do is we're just going to have some fun. We have a lot of the other guys have come by, and they're going to be at the Nullify Now conference tomorrow. Now, it's we have John Bush. You know, he's been an anarchist kind of guy, but he's kind of thrown in with the semi-anarchist. Oh, nonarchist, I don't know whatever it is they are. You know, they're not anarchist enough, as far as I'm concerned. I just got off the last hour with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, and it was perfect to have him on because, man, he's all about the government, man. We need more government. Ernie, you're driving on the roads, ain't you? You know, so it's to have the contrast between that government has to be used to do whatever the heck it is that he wants. And then you have, from a different perspective, more from the right, that, well, okay, well, government needs to do whatever it is that we want it to do. And I'm like, you know, oh, I can't come up with a justification for any government that's going to speak for me or tell me what I got to do, or I'm arguing, you know, I don't want Washington to tell me what to do. I advocate that I have my local government tell me what to do. And they're going to put their chest out and say, you know, we don't want you to tell the people what to do because they're our people and we rule them. So I'm just like, you know, how is this a freedom step? Because I've seen this since I was young. Imagine this. I graduate high school in 79. I'm born in 61. I'm just old enough to see the space race. The promise. Here we're going to space by the time I get to be 50 years old in 2010, that I get to go 2011, that I get to go to space. Hell no. Government has kept it away from me, and it's the private space race that's going to make it to where finally, maybe before I die, that frontier will be open to me and my family. And the future of my grandkids and my kids have the ability to just break away. Because once you get off planet, Oh, there's other dangers, there's other problems, but just the ability to say, I break with thee, and I go somewhere else. The promise that they always make, they never fulfill, especially when it comes down to getting away from their influence. It's all about bringing you more and more under their influence. They, them, those. Who are they? Who are they? Let me tell you who they are. There are those who won't be left alone, those who won't leave them alone. The ones that won't leave you alone, that's they. They, them, those. Okay? So this is not complicated. So now we're in a situation to where we have people saying, look, man, you know, we want to be left alone. But instead of advocating just being left alone, they're advocating that someone say it for them, or that they are their representative. They are the ones that they give allegiance to and are the voice telling the federal government to leave him alone until the president's Republican, then that'll change. But the thing is that I'm looking at this. What's the difference? We have Stuart Rhodes, Oath Keeper. Here we have an oath that you have police and military will take, uphold the Constitution. All right, well, that may be better than not, but I'm upholding it to what? To enslave me? To protect me? Against whom? What? You know, see, these are the things I'm talking about. I'm not going to give the right any more leeway than I would the left. If you're advocating for me to be ruled, You're in the same box, in my opinion. So we're going to talk. Stuart Rhodes, man, tell me where I'm wrong.
Well, I'm a libertarian, first of all. You can call me a minarchist libertarian like Ron Paul, my old boss. I'm not a neocon, so I think you're setting up a false left-right paradigm right there. I'm certainly not a government supremacist, so I'm not the left or the right counterpart to a socialist.
Okay, now let's go ahead and find out. Do you advocate that there's going to be some kind of government that's going to promise to protect my rights, or what?
I don't know. I think the anarcho-capitalists have a good point. Every time government's been tried anywhere in the world, it's like a cancer that grows and kills the host. So they have a very good point. My only mission is try to stop this country from turning into Stalinist Russia or Nazi Germany right now. That's my goal. It's kind of like triage. If we can get where you want to go, then great. Let's do it.
Now, my thing is that I'll tell you what's happened from my personal history. I graduate 79. I had the Reagan Revolution. Okay, we had Afghanistan being invaded by the Soviet Union. We had Red Dawn movie, you know, comes out, you know, around that time. We have the threat of nuclear annihilation. You know, we have mutual assured destruction, nuclear winter, Cold War, Soviet Union, Iran hostage crisis, Iran-Contra, blah, 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 blah. We got the Reagan Revolution, they're promising they're going to take care of us. Then we have, in 92, we have the Ross Perot thing, and then the Newt Gingrich contract on America, and the Republican Revolution, right, and whatever there. Then we go a third round. We go, all right, here we got the Ron Paul Revolution, and we got that going on. I'm like, and then the Tea Party that comes out of that, and the new, another promise with America, whatever it was. And I'm going, how many times do I have to go through this revolution before I start to realize that it's the same reset button, that we're going to use this government, this Constitution? We're not going to advocate doing away with that. We're never going to advocate doing away with that. We're always going to have this control mechanism, this structure, this voting, this Congress, this Washington, this Constitution, this Bill of Rights, this whatever it is. We're going to use that, and we pinky swear we're going to do it good this time. How many times before a sane adult would go, you know what? We keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result.
Well, I think it's true when you talk about the sad cycle of the conservatives and the liberals, when Clinton was talking about, stroke of the pen, law of the land, kind of cool, and doing whatever he wanted by executive power, then the conservatives were, the Constitution, you can't do that. When they came in power under Bush, it was a total flip. You had liberals running around quoting Ben Franklin, holding signs up, those who will give up essential liberty for security will, temporary security deserve neither, that kind of thing. And you had the neocons going nuts and a lot of Republicans going nuts, and their guy could do no wrong, secret prisons, enemy combatant status, torture, whatever. They were cool with it because their guy was in power. That's a true cycle. Ron Paul's a bit different, though. I think you're being a little unfair to him. He wasn't elected. He didn't get a shot. You just said the Ron Paul Revolution.
No, that's,
you lumped that in there as one of the cycles.
Absolutely, as part of the cycle.
No, it's not.
You had the Sagebrush Rebellion, which was part of the Reagan Revolution. You had the Contract on America and the Pinky Swear Promise, and the people rose. People rose up under the United
the
We Stand thing behind Perot and all that stuff. Then you have the Ron Paul Revolution came up, and I was there. I remember.
You supported him.
But I supported the message. I don't have anything, real problem with
okay,
Ron.
Okay, you supported the message. Okay.
I have no problem
Why'd
with
you
Ron.
Do that? Why'd you do that?
Education.
Okay.
People understand exactly what was going on. This was what was so important about the Levolution, that they understood that there was a promise, that there was a deal that they made with us in order for us to support this government thing. This is the deal. What's the deal? I don't know. We promise that if you support us having elections and having Congress and votes and all this kind of stuff, that we will protect this. We'll go by this contract that we have. We'll never do this, and we'll always support that. Well, they don't. Do they ever? Can they ever?
Ron Paul does.
He's not the government.
But he does. So he's an example of a guy who does keep his promises.
You know, he's the exception that proves the rule.
I agree with that.
So we'll talk about more when we come back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and my good friend Stuart Rhodes. Yeah, we're good friends. We'll have dinner tonight. We'll be chilling. But, you know, that doesn't mean we don't get to have spirited debate. You know, and this is the thing. A lot of people don't understand my method. You know, I just see the Constitution as another plantation. Now, the Articles of Confederation was better. Declaration of Independence was very clear. I have no problem with that. But they wanted to get a central bank. You know, that was kind of Art Hamilton's thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going, you know, if I can be all kinds of crazy principled libertarian guy, anarchist guy, and be able to argue it principally, it makes Stuart seem more moderate. You know, it's like, but I can't get on the Southern Poverty Law Center list. You know, Heidi comes on, she says, yeah, from the Southern Poverty Law Center, she goes, well, we don't put you on because we know you want to be. And they said they don't put on libertarians for some reason, too. Right? And because they need to have an enemy that it can't really, I don't know, I'm not sure what they're afraid of from libertarians, but you consider yourself libertarian. I mean, let's go over your bio real quick. Stuart Rhodes, founder and director of Oath Keepers. He served as a U.S. Army paratrooper until disabled. And then he was former firearms instructor and a former member of Ron Paul's D.C. staff. You know, a lot of people may not know that. He used to write for various magazines, you know, like a SWAT magazine and so on. You graduated from Yale Law School. I mean, you know, this is like, you know, so Stuart's got some skills, you know. So the thing is that you're out there advocating and you got a lot of notoriety by coming out and saying, look, if we're going to have this Constitution thing, all right, so let's assume we're going to have some kind of, you know, there's this contract, this deal. Well, there are people that got shiny badges, uniforms, and guns that take an oath to uphold and defend that document. And you're like, hey, I just want to, you know, like give you an extra opportunity to reaffirm that. Oh, they didn't like that none too much. And I'll tell you what Heidi's problem was. I had her on the show, and she said, well, he's saying that you know, giving people permission to disobey their president, that was their concern. They want central command.
Right. They want absolute obedience. You know, their opinion is that when they gain power by whatever means, after that, all the toys belong to them. And that's the police and military. And so we're messing with their toys. They don't like that.
They want control. Now, the thing that I'm concerned about is that when you advocate, we go to these, this is a tour. Now, are you traveling around the country with this Nullify Now thing?
Yes.
Okay, so you have several cities you're going to.
You bet.
Okay. Now, the goal is that at the end of this, you will have, I don't know, thousands at least, I'm sure, of people that will have been exposed to whatever it is that you're going to say. And what is the theme that we're going to what?
Well, our main message is that all the guys with the guns should not simply follow orders and be blind, obedient tools. That's the main message to them. The message to the rest of the citizens out there is that they should use what they do have, their state governments, to interpose between themselves and an abusive federal government. You know, Mordor on the Potomac is going crazy. So you want to have Gondor there to stand up and say, you know, we're going to defend the line here and stop you from doing this. Doesn't mean you can't have abuse of power in the state. You certainly can. But we do have that, like Jefferson and Madison, when they saw what happened with the Alien Sedition Acts, clear violation of the First Amendment, right out of the gate, arresting newspaper editors, they went to the state legislatures and said, you have a responsibility to stand up to this and declare this to be a null and void act.
Let me tell you what's going to be different. I tell you, I can see where this is going already. Arizona is in enormous financial debt, more per capita than California. We're the worst in the nation, you know, for a population, you know, divided into the debt. The United States federal government is going to go, carrot, here's your carrot. And you go, we want be in, we're not going to, and we're going to go, carrot, okay? That's what's going to happen. It's going to be blackmail. So, is that being addressed at all? Are you talking to the people in your state? You got Sylvia Allen, which is a senator here. She's a prominent conservative. You know, I'm. How is she addressing the financial issues?
I don't know. I'm from Montana, so So I can talk about Montana.
Yeah, oh, Montana's a good example.
Well, here's a good thing to know is that in Montana, we had a meeting, Oath Keepers called a meeting of all the liberty groups in Montana, and we had 20 legislators there. These are Ron Paul Republicans who were elected in the wake of Ron Paul's candidacy, and they're hardcore constitutionalists and hardcore liberty people. And so they will stand up. So you need more like that who are willing to say, not only will we say no to what you're doing that's a violation, but we don't want your money, and we're willing to deal with that and reject your money also.
I know.
Good luck.
Yeah.
But we're doing it in Montana. It's starting to happen.
Well, I see a lot of good signs here. I'm just afraid that if you take them from the frying pan into the fire, or you're not, you know, the concept that you're still going to be under a government control. No, it'll be constitutional this time. It'll be better. How many reincarnations of this argument do I have to go through? I'm just wondering, because in my adult life, I see this same argument. In fact, the exact same argument in the 90s. It started in Colorado. It was a 10th Amendment thing. They got it passed in one of the legislative branches there. It became a big deal. They came here. The Arizona Breakfast Club was here. Mm-hmm. They presented it. They talked to legislators. It got introduced here. It was initiatives that were done. We did it in our newspaper system, taking initiative. We did it. I mean, on and on and on. And, you know, lots of meetings, hundreds of people. Same thing. Exactly.
And then Bush got elected, and then all went away, right?
No, that's my point.
Right.
You know, it always goes away.
But there's that third part that's starting to grow who are consistent in their defense of liberty, no matter who's in power. They don't go to sleep when their guy's in the White House. That's the conservative, you know, Barry Goldwater, conservatives, Ron Paul Republicans, people like that, Constitution Party people, they tend to be more consistent no matter who's in power.
I tell you who gets counted. You know, this is the one thing that I've noticed. The people that they count are the ones that vote, that go out and they participate, and they're out in the streets and the Levolution and that kind of thing. What they never count, and the ones that I always advocate, like you're still voting, you know, are the people that don't vote, the people that just want to be left alone, the people that pull out of the system, the people that advocate, you know, for voluntary exchange in silver, people that are advocating just being, mm-hmm. you know, on the Lone Prairie, going to Free State Project, moving to Wyoming, going to North Dakota, Montana, advocating, right. These kind of people. These are the ones that have a much greater impact and are much more feared by the collectivist than anybody else. Because if you're in the system, they can't function without having the counterpart over there justifying their existence. When the people just start going, I don't care. I'm over here. I'm doing my thing. As soon as that starts to happen, man, that's when you start having the false flags. That's when you start. We got to rally the people together again. We got to have the aliens are invading from Alpha and whatever. Because if you don't, they lose that support from people in the concept of a collective in the government. Yeah. So I'm for building that awareness, this whole next generation.
Me too. I agree. Right. I agree. One of the major points we're going to make this next year is that people need to decouple themselves from the fiat money system. Sound money, local economies, barter, all those things that are private action. You don't need state action for that. I agree.
WalletVoting.com, WalletVoting.com. Go there, you'll see. WalletVoting.com. We knew this was coming. Well, we're going to have some more fun. A lot of the other guys are here, and we'll see who else get a crack at me. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
No, we're going for an economic collapse, and so...
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. We have in studio Michael Bolden. He is the founder and executive director of the 10th Amendment Center. Michael has a full schedule working as a senior editor of the center's website, writes a regular column, and he does a bunch of media, which is what he's doing right here today, along with me. And Stuart Rhodes is sitting in with me, and I want to make sure that we talk to Michael and everybody gets an equal share of my abuse. So the one thing, Michael, this is the main thing that I'm concerned with, okay? I have a lot of concerns. Go ahead and turn his mic on. I want to make sure that as we take the opportunity to talk to people that are paying attention, that we're going, look, man, it's bad, and it's going to get a lot worse. They're, you know, the economic collapse is, you know, they keep, you know, saying, oh, we're waiting for the second shoe to drop. I go, heck, man, we haven't even got the first shoe. They just took it off. And we got to smell the smelly sock. Okay. This has got a long ways to go. So they're going to look for solutions. They're going to look for an opportunity. We're going to fix it. Now, how are we going to fix it? Well, you're offering an opportunity to fix it, but it's using a structure. It's using the Constitution. It's using this government that we have. It's using, you know, the debt that we've incurred. It's using this collective from Washington. It's using the system that got us here. And as Lysander Spooner put it, he goes, you know, if the Constitution didn't cause what happened, it sure as hell didn't prevent it, okay? So I'm looking to the founder of this, you know, is bringing it on. What's the ultimate message?
The ultimate message is peace and freedom.
Okay, and how do we get there?
Well, it's a multi-stage thing. If we think about it, we've had I guess tyranny has gone on for eons, and we've had individuals or small groups of people rule over large groups of people through all through history. And what this is a step towards individual liberty. We're using the marketplace of ideas, and as long as people out there believe that these organizations, governments, whether on state, local, or national levels, have some level of legitimacy, we're going to try to bend those things to do our will. We recognize that far-off governments, especially like those in Washington, D.C. never will. That it doesn't matter what political party's in power or what individual occupies the White House, power always grows. Now, states are tyrannies too. I mean, I live in California. It's. I mean, Arizona is a freedom paradise compared to what I have. But I recognize that if I'm going to have any chance at all with working with politicians who I think are generally mostly all thugs, I'm going to at least have a slight bit of a chance trying to convince the closer to home ones to doing what I want them to do.
Oh, you're killing me, man. And you're just making every point I want to make. You know, when you're saying, you know, if we're going to be working with, I don't want to work with them.
Then you shouldn't. The reality is, you mentioned a lot of we, but I don't believe that we have incurred debt. You have not incurred United States debt. I have not. The politicians have done that. And the reality is that they are the ones that are
responsible. Why am I justifying their existence by using them as a tool? I
mean, you don't have to.
Okay, thank you.
It's an individual choice. It's an individual choice. I believe that there are many people, and probably a vast majority of people, who find the legitimacy of government more than people like yourself, who see zero legitimacy whatsoever. So I believe in the free marketplace, and that means either free market for business, but also for ideas. And as long as people want that, the market is going to continue to provide it. Unfortunately, though, government is all forced.
See, that's the point that I want to make, you know, is that you're right. It's going to be a cultural thing. It's going to be youth. It's going to be the younger generation. It's going to be those younger than me. It's going to be my kids and my grandkids that are going to make the determination whether government is going to be a mechanism by which they're going to attain whatever it is that they think they want or deserve or should have. And I'm going, why is it someone that I would think from your background and your rhetoric and so on that you understand the concept of, you know, not anybody
ruled? My background is communist. I grew up in government-run schools, so I believed every single time that there was a problem. I remember back with the airline bailouts. My first instinct was, oh, if they're going to bail out these airlines, why doesn't the government just own those airlines? And I think that is a huge problem that we face, is that all growing up.
You're making my point.
Growing up, I, just about everybody, our instincts. So we need a sea change in society. And what we do with the nullification at the 10th Amendment Center is start bringing that closer to home, because each step closer to the individual is a step closer towards freedom. Now, some people are further down the path than others. In fact, most people are not very far down that path at all. So we're trying to reach as many as possible, and maybe some will get kind of shuffled down the line closer to the message that you're doing. Maybe some will not.
Okay. All right. Amen, brother. The point that I'm hoping that we can espouse is that we can be on the same team. Because sure. I always say, you know, we promote you on the site. We have you guys
on. We love
that. We have, you know, we're doing, you know, we help. We'll be there with our table, and we'll pass out our anarchists, whatever the heck.
Okay? I love anarchists. The problem I have with anarchists is that many of them theorize. And what I'm actually doing is I'm traveling the country preaching to people that mass amounts of people need to commit acts of civil disobedience. The message is, we the people, we don't need no stinking permission to exercise our rights. We need to learn how to exercise rights, whether government grants us permission to or not. And I don't really see a lot of anarchists doing that. I love the ideas behind it, that everything should be based on non-aggression, but there's I mean, some people are very good at theorizing and coming up with ideas, and other people want to take action.
Well, I got my stinking badge.
Nice.
Okay?
Do it.
You know, I self-issued, you know. But the thing is, I understand your point, and I want to, you know, try and make my point.
Sorry.
Is that it's very simple. It's exactly what you're saying, is that people have not gone far enough down this road to even understand the concept. I am of the opinion that when we get closer, be it the Reagan Revolution, be it the Perot thing, the Republican Revolution in 94, we get to the Lovolution around Dr. Paul, then all of a sudden you get tea parties around that kind of stuff. And we're going, see, we're going to take this awareness and this understanding, and we're going to use it to take hold of the collective, and it'll be ours, and we'll do what we want with it, instead of taking the opportunity to say, it's never going to work.
There's no such thing as...
You're never going to have the concept of making decisions for individual human beings is ever going to produce a free society. Humanity must march on. Humanity must continue to understand that we get that act, and we do act autonomously all day, every day. Mm. It's when we butt up against the will of some collective that we start having problems. And it's always, well, our collective is smarter than your collective, and we're going to make you do what we want you to do, and with your money more than this guy. And I'm going, as long as there is going to be this kind of discussion to where you're bringing people into this collective mentality, it's just the state collective is going to be better than the national collective. And I'm going, you're missing the point. And it's the very point that you started off with, where you're saying, look, I was in government schools. I was thinking, because I was in the same boat. I went through the same thing. Well, if they really wanted to fix it, why don't they blank? Freedom's the answer. What's the question? But that's never brought up. It's always a better way to manage people, never that they shouldn't be managed. That is the goal that I want to espouse.
That's the message that we actually give, maybe not with those exact words, but when we say you need to start exercising your rights, whether you get permission from government or from some black robe deity on a Supreme Court or from any government position, that is the exact same message. Now, how people actually put that into action is up to them, because we aren't here to dictate. There's no such thing as a great libertarian dictator that's going to just create a free society, because as soon as you give someone the power, as Harry Brown always said, he would always say, as soon as you give power to somebody to do what you think is good, you're giving power to someone else to do exactly the opposite. So what we want to do is remove power in as many places as possible. And our role, and at least our focus, is the reality is the greatest violator of rights on probably, I don't know, maybe I'll say the face of the earth to sound exciting, is the United States government. There aren't state governments that are sending troops into Iraq to murder people.
I want to know who's the bigger one. I don't know anybody that's doing it more. Well, you know, Stuart, let's go ahead. I mean, this conversation, you understand the rhetoric here, and you could, and if somebody called upon you to explain what Ernie had to say or what Michael had to say, I'm sure you could do it. And when we come back, I want to get you to weigh in on this thing in the last segment, along with Michael, on what the real goal is. Of course, it's for all of us to keep breathing in and out and do so freely. What's the best method? I don't know. We're going to talk about it when we come back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Oh, the heat is on me here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. Yeah, Brad Friedman and Stuart got my voice all gone again, man. Well, maybe we'll be back next week. I'll be all right. You know, the one thing that I did want to get into, we have Michael Bolden is representative from the 10th Amendment Center, and this is a nationwide conference going around, and you got guys like Stuart Rose, some Oath Keepers, you got Sheriff Richard Mack, you got Gary Johnson, former governor of New Mexico, he's going to be speaking also, and he's probably going to be running for president here in 2012. You have a lot of other big names that there to make sure that the rhetoric is spread for what? And my thing is, where's the anarchist in there? Where's the guy that says, you know what, do we have the option of voting not at all, or none of the above. If I don't get the vote for not being ruled by your government, then you got an oppressive government, coercive, already. We haven't even got started yet. So I'm going, you know, that was the big thing with Bob Schultz, going to Jekyll Island and all that and so on. Had, you know, Ernie, you got to come, you got to come. And I go, all right, well, I'm going to vote for none. Am I allowed to do that? If I don't get the vote none, then it's not really an option. Am I allowed to vote none?
I've exercised my own duty of never voting in my life. So I've never found anyone who can actually represent me as an individual other than myself. So I've never given them my vote. And I think if more and more people
do that. Oh, you better not tell any of these guys that.
I think if more and more people do that, they may delegitimize the system. I don't believe in the lesser of two evils. Now, if someone feels that voting is their way of doing things, I'm never going to say no to someone who feels that some path is right for them. So for some people, voting is the right path. For other people, doing a sit-in is the right path. For other people, growing hemp, even though it's illegal in the United States, is the right path. Or selling marijuana is the right path. For me, it's maybe a little bit of all
of it.
You know,
this is interesting for Stuart to get in on this because, you know, this is a totally different phase of the movement over years to where we have now a lot of the people that are leadership, that are really involved in this, are representing a much wider freedom-oriented, you know, like I just got the movie Guns and Weed. And, you know, it's a good movie. We were interviewing the guys earlier this week. And I'm just wondering, you know, do you see this as a continuing trend? And how are the traditional older blue hair Republican women that are in the average age of 67 and a half years old and they go to these events, how are they reacting when exposed to this rhetoric?
Well, I think his speech at the gun conference was a good indicator. He went in there thinking he's going to get kicked out, and he said, well, you know, kind of shamed him and said, do you gun rights activists have the courage of a pot smoker? And he made a really good point, and the reaction was very favorable. You know, they are starting to understand that this is not about whether we like this person or this substance or this cause. It's about broader principles of autonomy and natural rights and inherent rights. That's where we're starting to get more consistency. Like I said earlier, my whole point is that right now I have a narrow window where I can talk to Republicans and they'll actually listen about fundamental rights and natural rights and the Constitution, where before they wouldn't under Bush. I know that when John McCain or someone's elected in the White House, that window will shut. And then it'll be the liberals who will be open to hearing the message. So I'm just doing what I can with what I got. But we are growing that third part of the population who is always awake and always has their eyes open. They are salvation. The more of them we can create, the better for us. And like you said, it's a continuum down a path. Even the ones who are awake and consistent about being concerned about the Bill of Rights and about natural rights, they're not always going to be as far down the road as you are or him or me. But we're moving them down that road, and their eyes are open the whole time. That's important.
Okay, you know, I'm feeling better.
You're feeling good.
I'm feeling a little bit better.
Feeling low?
Because, you know, you can understand from my perspective that if someone, I was the young people back in 80, I was 20-something years old, just had my fourth child. Now Sierra, my producer, she's becoming of age and aware of what's really going on, and she books these shows, she reads the stuff, she posts stuff on Famous Phoenix. She's the one that schedules everybody and talks to them and listens to the show and edits them and all that. I mean, you think she doesn't get it? You think she doesn't understand guys like my first hour guest, you know, Brad Friedman, you know, that's you know, we come together so we can spend your money, you know. So I understand that there is an entire new generation that knows that what we got now is broke. They understood how it got broke. They understood the mechanism by which it was broken and the people that broke it. And I'm going, okay, and the fundamental advocacy for a change from that is what? Is there a fundamental advocacy of change? Well, you know, at first glance, maybe not. Well, maybe underneath, maybe a little bit, when you got someone that's advocating for, you know, medical self-treatment, and I don't need the medical marijuana. I just, you know, I smoke it because I feel like it, you know, bite me, you know? and so to be able to go and say to gun owners, look, man, You know, it's about freedom. And it's about being able to own yourself and exercise that without fear. If you're not able to do that, well, you got bigger problems. So those issues are what's coming up. And I'm glad to hear that. And if you're going to use this as a mechanism to do that, Michael, you know, cool.
Cool.
All right, man. So
it's all about a mechanism for individual liberty, peace, and we go from there.
Well, is there a database? Are we going to have, you know, a voting block? Is there once more into the breach? We got a congressional candidate.
You're talking to a non-voter.
See, I like you more all the time.
I like me all the time, too.
All right. Well, go ahead and tell me what you think is going to be at the end of your tour. There's going to be a what?
Well, I don't know if there
is a big party.
I don't know if there is an end of the tour. We're going to continue trying to preach the message that we don't need no stinking permission to exercise our rights. We have to exercise our rights, whether some government official gives us permission to or not. And I don't really see that type of society, maybe, probably not in my own lifetime, but I'm going to continue working for it because, you know, the reality is, no matter how difficult the odds or how insurmountable it may be, the right thing to do is the only thing to do. So we have to continue preaching the message and see where it goes.
You know, I tell you what happens. This has been my experience. It won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. I mean, all of a sudden it builds up, and then boom, you know. And as long as the infrastructure intellectually is there, as long as people understand the mechanism by which how it was done badly, what was done to us, why, who, you know, and that, you know, the better alternative is just not having it done to you, just be left alone in your community. If we ever get to that point or that opportunity and we seize it, oh, prosperity is going to rain. And I get my Jetson car. I mean, I've been waiting. I want it. Dang it, government's in my freaking way, man. You know, so now you guys keep doing what you're doing. I'll advocate you guys doing it. And it, we get a little bit of flavor in there of, you know, can I just be left alone? I just want to be left alone without any coercion, even from a local government. Now, having this message and going out there and going across the country, I would imagine that you have some local politicians that have been, you know, yeah, what they said. Or do they even understand what you said, or they just want their name on the letterhead?
I love it when politicians grandstand. They hear a message of freedom and liberty, and then they're kind of pressured into, well, oh, wow, yeah, I mean, I know I've been for the drug war my whole life, but that guy Bolden was talking about letting anybody smoke weed whenever the heck they want, and now I have to, too, because 600 people were cheering for it, and that's the type of thing that happens.
You know, we saw it Bill of Rights Day. That was December 15th at the Wrigley Mansion over here by the Biltmore. And Alan Corwin put that on. Andre Campos, you know, he's a Campaign for Liberty guy. You know, worked with him on that. And Gary Johnson up there talking about, you know, he kind of, yeah, we kind of should have sort of almost get out of Afghanistan kind of thing. I mean, he's kind of in the war. He could be more forceful to suit me. But he was definitely, you know, this drug war thing's over. And the crowd's going crazy, but there's a good Republican segment there going, what the hell was that? You got some legislators there going, honey, we ain't in Kansas no more, you know? So I understand the power of peer pressure. I just want to make sure that that pressure it is for the right things. Well, I'm going to give my voice to it. And thanks to Michael and Stuart Rose for coming in and letting me share with them my thoughts and get to know them a little bit better. I feel better. Hopefully you feel better. It's tomorrow at the Sheraton Phoenix downtown. All day tomorrow. Go check it out. Just put in Nullify Now. Nullify Now in your Google, and it'll blow up all over the place. Nullify Now, Phoenix. It'll tell you where to go. And we're going to go do some party tonight and get to be more friends. We'll talk to you Monday.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readersoffreedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readersoffreedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured.